So today is January 9, 1937. My life at present flows on in peaceful awareness of God. My silent soul lives on Him and His conscious knife of God. And this conscious knife of God in my soul is for me a source of happiness and strength. Silence. That's the key word. Silence. I do not look for happiness outside depths of my soul in which God dwells. Of this, I'm aware. I feel a sudden need to share myself with others. I've discovered the fountain of happiness in my soul, and it is God. Oh my God, I see that everything that surrounds me is filled with God, and most of all, my own soul, which is adorned with grace of God. Already now, I will begin to live on that on which I shall live for all eternity. So, you know, eternity is only in God. So already on earth. Silence is so powerful, a language that it reaches the throne of the living God. Silence is His language, though secret, yet living and powerful. Silence doesn't mean inactive. It's actively silence. Jesus, You have given me to know and understand in what a soul's greatness consists, not in great deeds, but in great love. That's what Mother Teresa always says. You need to do things with a great heart. Love has its worth, and it confesses greatness on all our deeds. Although our actions are small and ordinary in themselves, because of love, they become great and powerful before God. Love is a mystery that transforms everything it touches into things beautiful and pleasing to God. The love of God makes a soul free. She is like a queen. She knows no slavish compulsion. She sets about everything with great freedom of soul. Because the love which dwells in her incites her to action. Everything that surrounds her makes her know that only God Himself is worthy of her love. A soul in love with God, immersed in Him, approaches her duties with the same dispositions as she does Holy Communion and the same and carries out the simplest tasks with great care under the loving gaze of God. So not only the sacraments, the attentive in everything she'll do. She is not troubled if, after some time, something turns out to be less successful. She remains calm because at the time of the action, she had done what was in her power. She did her best. Did your best and okay. If you don't do your best, so convert yourself. But it happens that the living presence of God, which she enjoys almost constantly, lives her and then tries to continue living in lively faith. Sometimes you feel the presence of God very strongly. Sometimes you don't feel it. Even though you do feel it, you have to live with faith. Sometimes already God's presence in you, and you don't have to see if it's touchable. But at times, you don't see it, you don't feel it, like in the desert. Her soul understands that there are periods of rest and periods of battle. Sometimes quiet, joyful, peaceful. Sometimes everything goes wrong. Everything is a battle, temptations. Through her will, she's always with God. The will is very important. many times we lived in the situation. If the people are good, so we feel so good. When people are bad, so we are disturbed. No. Her soul, not yet light, is well trained to battle. Not to fight against others, to fight against yourself. From afar, it sees where the foe is hiding and is ready for battle. She knows she is not alone. God is her strength. It's always beautiful. Huh? January 21st, 1937. Since early morning today, I have been wondrously united with the Lord. In the evening, the hospital chaplain visited me. After we had talked for a while, I felt my spirit beginning to immerse itself in God, and I began to lose all sense of what was happening around me into the trance. I ardently implored Jesus, "Give me the ability to talk." She was already in high heaven. And the Lord granted that I could talk freely with Him. But there was a moment when I could not understand what the priest was saying. I heard his voice, but it was impossible for me to understand him, and apologized for not understanding him, although I could hear his voice. At times we are so tired, we listen to the voice, but we are absent. Yes. What about? This moment of the grace of union with God, but imperfect, because exteriorly the senses are acting imperfectly too. There is no total immersion in God, that is, suspension of the senses, as often happens when one neither sees nor hears anything exteriorly, the whole soul being freely absorbed in God. That's the visionary, no? The six visionaries in Pachacoria, when they see Mother Mary, they lost all senses. So it happens in the past, no? The doctors were around when they were in trance, and they checked their eye, no movement. Even checked their brain, stopped. I mean, that moment is another experience. When such a grace visits me, I want to be alone, and I ask Jesus to protect me from eyes of creatures. I was really very embarrassed before the priest, but I was reassured because he got to know a little of my soul in confession. Today the Lord gave me to know in spirit about the convent of Divine Mercy. I saw a great spirit in this convent, but everything was poor and very scanty. Oh my Jesus, you are allowing me to live in spirit with these souls, but perhaps I should never set foot there. But may your name be blessed. Whatever you have intended, may it be done. January 21st, 1937. Today is Friday. My soul is in a sea of suffering. Sinners have taken everything away from me. But that's all right. I've given everything away for their sake, and they might know that you are good and infinitely merciful. I shall be faithful to you, come rain or shine. Sun or rainy day, she enjoyed suffering for the sinners. Today the doctor decided that I'm not to go to Mass, but only to Holy Communion. I wanted very much to exist at Mass, but my confessor, in agreement with the doctor, told me to obey. It's God's will, sister, that you should get well, and you must not undertake mortifications of any kind. Be obedient, sister, and God will reward you for it. I felt that the confessor's words were Jesus' words, and although it makes me sad to miss Holy Mass, during which God has been granting me the grace of seeing the infant Jesus, nevertheless, I place obedience above everything else. I began myself in prayer and said my penance. Then I suddenly saw the Lord, who said to me, My daughter, know that you give me greater glory by single act of obedience than by long prayers and mortifications. It's important, the obedience. Oh, how good it is to live under obedience, to live conscious of the fact that everything I do is pleasing to God. January 23rd, 1937, I did not feel like writing today. Then I heard a voice in my soul. My daughter, you do not live for yourself, but for souls. Write for their benefit. You know that my will as to your writing has been confirmed many times by your confessors. You know what is pleasing to me. And if you have any doubts about what I'm saying, you also know whom you are to ask. I grant him light to pronounce judgment on my care, on my case. My eye watches over you. My daughter, you are to be like a child toward me, full of simplicity and candor, putting judgment above all my demands. He will guide you according to my will. If he does not allow you to carry out my demands, be at peace. I will not judge you, but the matter will remain between me and you. You are to be obedient. January 25th, 1937. Today my soul is steeped in bitterness. Oh Jesus, my Jesus, today everyone can add to my cup of bitterness. It makes me no difference whether they be friend or foe. They can all inflict suffering on me. And you, Jesus, are bound to give me strength and power to these difficult moments. Oh blessed host, support me and seal my lips against all murmuring and complaint. When I'm silent, I know I shall be victorious. You can imagine, she suffered so much. No matter good people, bad people, give her so much suffering. That is a victim soul. Many times, have no reason. Of course, there's a reason in the back. Just to be with Jesus. January 27, 1937. I feel considerable improvement in my health. Jesus bring me from the gates of death to life, because there was so little left but for me to die. And oh, the Lord grants me the fullness of life. Although I'm still to remain in the sanatorium, I'm almost completely well. I see the will of God has not yet been fulfilled in me, and that is why I must live. For I know that if I fulfill everything the Lord has planned for me in this world, he will not leave me in exile any longer. For heaven is my home. But before we go to our homeland, we must fulfill the will of God on earth. That is, trials and struggles must run their full course in us. Trials and struggles. So this is the way. Oh my Jesus, you are giving me back my health and life. Give me also strength for battle, because I'm unable to do anything without you. Give me strength, for you can do all things. You see that I'm a frail child, and what can I do? I know the full power of your mercy, and I trust that you will give me everything your feeble child needs. I desire death so much. I don't know whether I shall ever again in my life experience such great longing for God. So she's longing for God, not for death. But many times we long for death, not to suffer. Many old people, they prefer to go sooner than later because so much suffering on earth. But it's not the way of Faustina. Faustina is just yearning to be close to Jesus. So this different way. So don't tell yourself, I'm old enough to go, and then you just tell Jesus, come. Not yet. There have been times when I felt into a swoon for him. Oh, how ugly the earth when one knows heaven. I must do violence to myself in order to live. O will of God, you are my nourishment. Well, how trapped and full of misunderstandings is this knife? So many people have different ideas about you. Don't know all people understand you. My patience is exercised, and after it comes experience. I understand and learn many things each day and see that I know very little. And I'm constantly discovering faults in my conduct. Still, I'm not discouraged by this. But thank God that he deigns to grant me his light, that I may know myself. There's a certain person who tests my patience. There must be some angels always around us. The quote, the name is Stanislava. I think it's maybe a sister, maybe a nurse, some people in the sanatorium. I must devote much time to her. When I talk to her, I feel that she's lying. And this continually. Because she tells me about things far away which I cannot verify. She's able to get away with the lie. But I'm inwardly convinced that there is no truth in what she says. When it occurred to me once that I might be mistaken and that she might be telling the truth, I asked the Lord Jesus to give me the following sign. If she's really lying, let her admit to me herself that she has lied about any one of the things concerning which I'm inwardly convinced that she is lying. And if she is telling the truth, let the Lord Jesus take this conviction away from me. A little later, she came to me again and said, "Sister, I beg your forgiveness, but I have lied about such and such a thing." And I understood that the inner light concerning that person had not misled me. So this inner light is very important. January 29, 1937, I oversnapped today. I really oversnapped. If the sister didn't call me, I'm still sleeping. I'm still in the jet lag. This is my 8 hours earlier. That means it's only 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm leaving. I just came back from Fatima yesterday. So my body is still in Fatima. It's early morning, 2 o'clock. I have to stand up to me. A little longer, and I would have been too late from Holy Communion, because the chapel is a good distance from ourselves, or from our section. When I went outdoors, the snow was knee deep. But before it occurred to me that the doctor would not have allowed me to go out in such snow, I had already come to the Lord in the chapel. I received Holy Communion and was back in no time. I heard these words in my soul: "My daughter, rest close to my heart. Known to me are your efforts." My soul is more joyful when I'm close to the heart of God. January 30th, 1937, one day retreat. I'm coming to know God's greatness more and more and to rejoice in him. I remain unceasingly with him in the depths of my heart. It is in my own soul that I almost easily find God. During my meditation, I heard these words: "My daughter, you give me most glory by patiently submitting to my will. And you win for yourself greater merit than that which any fast or mortification could ever gain for you. Know, my daughter, that if you submit your will to mine, you draw upon yourself my special delight." This sacrifice is pleasing to me and full of sweetness. I take great pleasure in it. There's power in it. Examination of conscience. Continuation of the same. To unite myself to the merciful Christ. Practice interior silence. That is, strict observance of silence. Silence of heart and silence of mind and silence of visual things. In difficult moments, I will fix my gaze upon the silent heart of Jesus. Jesus' heart is open to all. But it's warm but silent. Stretches upon the cross, and from the exploding flames of his merciful heart will flow down upon me power and strength to keep fighting. An extraordinary thing that in winter a canary comes to my window and sings beautifully for a while. Canary is a bird, the right feather bird. It's beautiful. I've tried to check whether there is canary in a cage somewhere around, but there is none anywhere, not even in the neighborhood ward. One of the art patients also heard it, but only once, and wondered how a canary could be singing in this freezing season of the year. The bird's beautiful, they just, you know, under the trees and they fly and they sing. Oh Jesus, how sorry I felt for poor sinners. Jesus, grant them contrition and penitence and repentance. Remember your own sorrowful passion. I know your infinite mercy and cannot bear it that a soul that has caused you so much should perish. Jesus, give me the souls of sinners. Let your mercy rest upon them. Take everything away from me, but give me souls. I want to become a sacrificial host for sinners. Let a shell of my body conceal my offering. For your most sacred heart is also hidden in the host, and certainly you are living sacrifice. So Jesus, silence in the host, and only living for us, the beating for us. Transform me into yourself, O Jesus, that I may be a living sacrifice and pleasing to you. So the retreat 2 days ago in Fatima, that all special priests are victim souls. It's not only doing things, but also nice. So for sinner, you suffer for sinners. And each one of us, when you baptize, you share the priesthood of Jesus. Priesthood means sacrificial offering. So each one of us, you participate. I decide to atone at each moment for poor sinners. The sacrifice of my spirit is hidden under the veil of the body. The human eye does not perceive it, and for that reason, it is pure and pleasing to you. O my Creator and Father of great mercy, I trust in you, for you are the goodness itself. Souls, do not be afraid of God, but trust in Him, for He is good, and His mercy is everlasting. We know each other mutually, O Lord, in the dwelling of my heart. Yes, now it is I who am receiving you as a guest in the little home of my heart. For the time is coming when you will call me to your dwelling place, which you have prepared for me from the beginning of the world. Oh, what am I compared to you, O Lord? The Lord is leading me into a world unknown to me. He makes known to me His great grace, but I am afraid of it and will not submit it to its influence insofar as it may be in my power, until I am assured by my spiritual director as to what this grace is. On one occasion, God's presence pervaded my whole being. and my mind was mysteriously enlightened in respect to his essence. He allowed me to understand his interior life, the Blessed Trinity. In spirit, I saw the three divine persons, but their essence was one. He is one, and only one, and one alone, but in three persons. None of them is either greater or smaller. There is no difference in either beauty or sanctity, for they are one. They're absolutely one. His love transported me into this knowledge and united me with himself. When I was united to one, I was equally united to the second and to the third in such a way that when we are united with one, by the very fact we're equally united to the two persons in the same way as with the one. There will is one, one God, though in three persons. When we adore Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, we adore also God the Father and the Holy Spirit, not separate, but they are in three persons. It's hard to understand. I look at you and it's you, not your Father and not your Son. But when you look at Jesus, you look at the Father, you look at the Son, at the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus once says, they say, show me your Father. Then Jesus says, when you see me, you see the Father. Right? Their will is one, one God, though in three persons. When one of the three persons communicates with a soul by the power of that one will, he finds itself united with the three persons and is undated in the happiness flowing from the Most Holy Trinity, the same happiness that nourishes the saints. This same happiness that streams from the Most Holy Trinity makes all creation happy. From it springs that life which vivifies and bestows all life, which takes its beginning from him. In these moments, my soul experiences such great divine depth, delights, that I found this difficult to express. It's always difficult to express the three, the Blessed Trinity. You know, one in three, three in one. But Faustina said in a very beautiful way, when you adore the second person, you adore the first and the third. Then I heard the following words spoken to thus: I want you to be my spouse. Fear peace, my soul. But I calmly continue to reflect on which sort of an exposure this could be. I have each time fear would invade my soul, a power from on high would give it peace. After all, I have taken perpetual vows, and I have taken them of my own completely free will. As I continue to reflect on what this could mean, I sense and came to realize that this was some special kind of grace. Whenever I think about it, I feel faint for God. But in this swarming, my mind is clear and penetrated with light. When united to him, I faint from an abundance of happiness. But my mind is bright and clear and free from all shadows. You abase your majesty to dwell with a poor creature. Thank you, O Lord, for this great grace that makes it possible for me to commune with you. Jesus, your name is my delight. I have a present timing of my beloved from afar, and my languishing soul rests in his embrace. I don't know how to live without him. I would rather be with him in afflictions and sufferings than without him in the greatest heavenly delight. This unity is so close to us. It just is in in God himself, you know, without the presence, you can't live. February 2nd, 1937. Today, from early morning, divine absorption penetrates my soul. During Mass, I thought I would see the little Jesus, as I often do. However, today, during Holy Mass, I saw the crucified Jesus. Jesus was nailed to the cross and was in great agony. His suffering pierced me, soul and body, in a manner which was invisible, but nevertheless most painful. So she got double. Huh? Sometimes in the Mass, she felt the presence of baby Jesus coming to her embrace. At this time, Jesus on the cross. Oh, what awesome mysteries take place during Mass. A great mystery is accomplished in Holy Mass. With what great devotion should we listen to and take part in this death of Jesus? Each Mass is a memorial of the death of Jesus. The pain, all the its passion. One day we will know what God is doing for us in each Mass, and what sort of gift he is preparing in it for us. So today, try to listen at 10 Mass with a different, with the soul of Faustina, although we don't know how, but just be kind of present. You be present. Even though you're doing legionary work and doing other things, I'll perform the work, pay attention, stay with Jesus. Even you do things with Jesus, so you won't be far away from Jesus. Otherwise, sure, I'm doing these things, you can be very easily distracted. Very difficult to come back. Distraction is easy, but concentration is difficult, double effort. So try to, even you do your assignment, you during Mass, you don't need to all the time look after the people. You just look, you know, if somebody faints, of course you have to look after that person. You don't look at the person all the time. You're not a policeman, not a policewoman. Just stay with that's important. One day we will know what God is doing for us in each Mass, and what sort of gifts he is preparing in it for us. So God is preparing maybe some sentiments for you, some inspirations, but you are wondering. You cannot get it. Don't tell Jesus, you don't talk to me. Don't wait, Jesus can say you don't listen. You're not listening. Only his divine love could permit that such a gift be provided for me, for us. Oh Jesus, my Jesus, with what great pains is my soul pierced when I see this fountain of life gushing forth with such sweetness and power for each soul, while at the same time I see souls withering away and drying up through their own faults. It's our fault not to get the light. Oh Jesus, grant that the power of mercy embrace these souls. We are those souls that's not paying attention at all. Say sorry to Jesus that He is waiting for us and he's always by our side and we are always far away. He's looking at you and you don't look at him at all. He's speaking to you. You have no heart to listen. Only in difficult times you talk and go. You don't stay. Maybe Jesus is telling, I suffer you in you more than you suffer yourself. I love you more than you love yourself. We don't understand. We just complain. My prayers are not answering. You don't answer our prayer. This is our prayer. Why don't we say, oh Lord Jesus, why don't you put this person in we are not living. We are always ladies. So then from our little sister Faustina, ask her today, special woman to bless us, especially during Mass. Ask her to accompany you, stay by your side. That's Faustina. Hold her hand. Pay attention to the Mass.